Well, I look at what do I want to do. I want to do the work of the chaplaincy in Dundrum. I'm very committed to that. It's resources for the patients there are very limited, and I'm the only chaplain, and the thing, Brendan Duddy here gives me a hand with some of the stuff, and that's great, it gives me the breaks, but fundamentally I'm the chaplain there. So I just find ways of keeping going. And just recently now, Kennedy O'Brien, that I mentioned earlier, says, oh, you know, I think I have something that might help you. And it basically is this, what they call Universalis. It's an online missal. So you can put that on your computer. You can get exactly the text you want. And you go up to the chapel with the text for the day. And you can make your own additions into it or scribblings on it and so on. So that way I can prepare. I don't have to rely on the memory. I used to be finding I couldn't keep step on the way through the Mass, and I'd get a little distraction and I wouldn't know where I had been. Now, patients are very understanding. I'm quite open with the patients about it all. And I have my Mass server and sacristan and so on from among the patients, and they all understand the situation. So at the moment now, we use the little missalet most of the time. When I have Sundays, there's always the text there. And the sacristan sits on his seat and he has a pencil in his hand. And when I get stuck, he gets a sheet, puts a mark on it, comes over and says, that's it, Des. And we continue. And that's just taken for granted now. No trouble with it. We'll have fun with Holy Week.
But they'll be part of it in a way that maybe they wouldn't have been before. So you're creating a community that ministers to each other.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I do think it has its real, very valid spin-off there. Now, I've always been good at associating with the patients and at empathising with their situation, limitations and that.
These would be patients who have maybe committed a serious crimes or different crimes, but they've not been gone to prison because they've been deemed to be not culpable through mental disorder.
The old thing was NGRI, not guilty by reason of insanity, but that if they had been guilty, it would have been a jail sentence. The danger is still there, of course. So the situation now is that instead of being sent to prison, they're sent to hospital to be cured of the root cause. Unfortunately, that can be a very, very slow process when it's a psychiatric problem, a mental problem. So we have a long-term relationship in the hospital.
Just thinking, it's quite moving that you are there as a chaplain and you are suffering from your own brain dysfunction as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that helps me to be more aware of the disability that patients are suffering from themselves, that they can't rely for them on their sense of things. It's a more emotional kind of level with them. But they do say, realise that I have difficulty in what I'm doing as well. And I would say that gives a more ease between us and a more acceptance. And then I think what probably helps me as a chaplain then coming out of that is that I say to myself now, I know he killed his mother. But I wonder what it's like to be him. What's the goodness? What are his hopes? What are his joys? And I can approach him as another person with his own life that he treasures and would love to have the freedom to live fully and explore it with him. And that's what I do as a chaplain. I try to help people to re-find themselves, to find their peace with the people around, to re-socialise. I mean, that's the whole work of the hospital. But as a chaplain, I do that too.
So in general, and I know you work with the Alzheimer's Society, is it important that, would you say, that people that you are close to and work with, that the more open you can be about it, that that can help the families or your friends or your Jesuit community to work together with you to make it better all round for everybody? Because it can be very bewildering for your friends and colleagues.
And to be honest, I think the way I've been handling the Alzheimer's now, what last 2 years or so, has been a gift to very many people. People feel, let's say, you can get on with life without being fully healthy, fully perfect, that if you have disabilities, you don't have to deny them. They see that I can live very peacefully and productively with the situation I'm in, and that I just get on with life and enjoy life. So I would say a lot of people says, God, there's your tonic. So
I agree.
So I find that that's a spin-off, if you like, never intended by me. I didn't set out to be a benefit, but I would say that for many people, they would now feel, people that have met me and so on, much easier with other people who might have memory problems, or with the thought within their own family, say, or whatever, or the thought that they might get memory problems. Now, you have to be careful with that. There may well come a time, one I dread, you know, when, you know, I won't know your path. I won't recognize that I've met you before. And that, I know with my sister, not know. That to me, I just so love the being with people and doing things with people and being uplifted by people, that the thought that all that would be gone, that brings, as you can see, tears to my eyes. Yeah, I suppose, you know, I could say trust in God, and that is true, I do. But there's also with me just a sense of live the life you've got, and I will live it as best I can as long as I've given the life to live. And I've lived through difficulties, as I was telling you about my childhood experiences, the Alzheimer's, dementia now, failure in work at various things. I set out on a few projects and said, I'm not up to this. Failures in relationships. And they're all sad and hurtful. But there's much more to life than all of those. And a lot of these, certainly relationships failures, we've mended. They're the ones I want to mend. I don't like to go away. And even where I can't mend it with another person, I mend it in myself. I know, I just keep wishing them well.
You have a great sense of first of all, honesty. You tell the truth as it is. You then have you come, it would appear, to an acceptance of that through awareness.
Yeah.
And then you take action. That's a powerful way of dealing with anything in life, and particularly with something as potentially debilitating as Alzheimer's.
Yes, I think that's true. It's a kind of my own way of thinking it more is the life I have, whatever it is, from the time I was an infant up to now, is the life I have. And either you can bemoan its shortcomings or you can delight in the gifts that are in it. I've set out to delight in the gifts that are in it. Having, I think, started off as a kid feeling, oh my God, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I want to do the other. And I only went around it. Miserable myself, annoying everyone else, and alienating them. So I says, well, this ain't no life. What have you got? And I found I had an awful lot. I live a very happy life now, thanks be to God. And it hasn't been diminished by Alzheimer's. I think in some ways, because Alzheimer's has restricted my activities, I've much more contemplative space, and that has done me a world of good.